This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming your way in 15 minutes, Jen Ladd is going to join us. Intrepid reporter for College Game Day, also a member of ESPN Milwaukee. We'll talk to her about tonight's Packers and Cardinals game, and then also the weekend at East Lansing as Michigan and Michigan State go at it. That's where College Game Day is going to be. A couple of undefeated teams. We'll do that coming up in 15 minutes with Jen, and then later on in the hour, more college football. World's largest outdoor cocktail party continues from Jacksonville on Saturday. Can Georgia continue its undefeated season with its rival Florida in the house? So speaking of tonight's Packers and Cardinals game, here is a great stat for you. Number one, this is going to be by win percentage. This is going to be the best game this late in the season in Thursday night history. Because these two teams have only one loss between them in terms of win percentage, this is the best matchup, the, quote, greatest game in Thursday night history. And the Thursday night package goes back to 2006. But if you want a historical precedent, if you want to look at some numbers here that might give you a pause on where you lay your cash or who you think is going to win, since 06 and the advent of weekly Thursday night football, okay, so take out your Thanksgiving games. Since 06 and Thursday night football, if you've had to fly west two time zones, so an East Coast team or a Central time zone team and gone to the West Coast, or an East Coast time zone team and gone to the Mountain time zone, so two time zones or more. Over the past 15 years, during Thursday night football, this has happened 14 times. Since 06, 14 teams have traveled two time zones west or more. They are 1-13. They are 1-13. If you're an East Coast or Central time zone team and you go west on Thursday night football, short week, long travel, short week, only 1 in 15 years has won the game and an overall record of 1-13. And against the spread, 1-12-1. So the odds are You lay the 6.5 with the Cardinals tonight. Cardinals by 6.5. So what does that mean for the Packers? Well, the good news for the Packers tonight is that J.J. Watt is done. J.J. Watt has a shoulder injury that was announced last night. He's going to have surgery on it, and more than likely that's going to end his season. So no Watt definitely tonight. Probably no Watt the rest of the year for the Cardinals. That's a big loss. For the Packers, though, they're obviously dealing with losses of their own. The two top targets of Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and Alan Lazard are both going to be out tonight because of COVID. So you've got the Packers traveling west against an undefeated Cardinals team without their top two wide receivers on a short week. It's a recipe for the Packers not winning this football game. However, if the Packers are going to win tonight and upend the trend, it'll probably be because, A, they can run the football really well, especially early in series, and B, because actually Aaron Rodgers is really good when Davante Adams is not on the field. You would think, well, the Packers' pass attack has got to take a hit when Davante Adams is not out there. That's actually not true. In fact, statistically speaking, Rodgers throws for more yards, or the Packers put up more points, shockingly, when Davante has not played. For whatever reason, that's been the case. Now, of course, Rodgers wants him out there. Of course, Rodgers feels better when he's out there. But for whatever reason, Rodgers statistically, the Packers statistically, are slightly better when Davante Adams does not play. Rodgers is great at using all of his wide receivers. He's great at using all of his targets. It is what makes him so dynamite, so dynamic, and so difficult to guard against. But I think the other part of the Packers equation is clearly you run Dillon and you run Jones as much as you can for two reasons. Number one, so that you are not relying on the third, fourth, and fifth passing targets to make your big plays. But secondly, to keep Kyler Murray and that offense off the field. And I think that's a huge part of this, is that Kyler, D-Hop, Kirk, Green, etc., and now Ertz, man, those guys just put up boatloads of yards and tons of points and do it quick. And, you know, trying to defend Kyler Murray and the entire field is so difficult right now because Kyler is so slippery. He's so fast. His arm is so electric. He's got so many good weapons. And Kingsbury's kind of given him the keys to the offense, that trying to defend the entire field when he's that quick and can make those fast decisions and has an arm to get it almost anywhere, with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins that can go up and get it anywhere, and a veteran like A.J. Green, you just have so much you've got to defend. So you don't want to keep pushing the pressure to your defense to make stop after stop after stop after stop and keep it close. Run of the football is going to be key tonight for the Green Bay Packers. I think there's a lot of points scored in this game. I think this is a game that, even though Adams and Lazard are out, I think the Packers do score points, but I do think that the Cardinals score more. I could see this being a game played in the 30s. I think this is a game probably played in the low to mid 30s, and so a 37-31, a 38-30, a 38-28, something like that is probably where we're going. It's why I would stay away from the number. I think the numbers are going to be good in terms of offensive stats. I think the points are going to be there. I would guess that I would bet on the trend of, historically speaking, teams don't do well going out west on a Thursday night. So I would guess I'm picking the Cardinals to win, but that number's tough because it's right around a touchdown. And, you know, what happens if the Cardinals or leading by two scores in the fourth quarter, there's a garbage time touchdown? You know, I know it's 6.5, but it's too close for me to take on that. But I do think points are going to be scored in this game. I don't think the Packers and the Cardinals defense. This just feels like controlled conditions indoors Thursday night. There's a bunch of points. This feels to me like Kyler and Rodgers have a duel here. The only win for a team traveling west on Thursday night football in the last 15 years, though, was the Packers last season. That's when they beat the Niners 34-17. Devontae Adams had the first touchdown of the game, but that was also a Niners team decimated by injuries, remember. It wasn't really the Niners. So historically speaking, that's a big trend that you cannot ignore. The teams going west on a Thursday night just do not get the victory. When we come back on the show, Jen Ladd is going to join us. She works for ESPN Milwaukee, so we'll get the Packers side of things for tonight's game. We'll also talk College Game Day with her as the boys and the girls and the entire crew. The best pregame show for college football, bar none, is in East Lansing for Michigan, Michigan State, in a battle of two undefeated teams of the Big Ten. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Your passion, dude. That's awesome. Your passion in the morning. I like it. Just bring that fire.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Fire. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Thursday morning. You can always listen to us at hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM, channel 206. And stream us on the apps, the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. With the CBS Sports app, get scores, updates, breakdowns, matchups, and CBS Sports Radio. Joining us, she does such a phenomenal job on College Game Day as a college football fan myself. We all know the matchups, the coaches, the players, but what she does is dig into really emotional, poignant, meaningful stories of players and coaches and families across the game and the sport in it. It always really makes my Saturdays better. I think she's just elite at what she does, storytelling, and doing it in a really smart but really emotional and thoughtful way. She's just really, really good at this, and we've had her on the show before. In fact, last year during pandemic, we had her on the show as one of my favorite people in sports media because she's that good. She's also part of the family of ESPN Milwaukee, and so she is boots on the ground in Wisconsin and a Fear the Deer loyalist. Joining us this morning on the show, Jen Latta. Jen, good morning.
Good morning. See, this is why I always say yes when you ask me to be on the show, because who doesn't want to start their morning like that? You're like the Stuart Smalley for my brain. You're good enough and you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, Damon likes you, Jen.
What I also like is how passionate you are about your Milwaukee Bucks. And now, as NBA champions, what's it like to wake up and know you're number one?
Oh, my gosh, it's fantastic. You know, the ring ceremony just a week ago was, I mean, all of the emotion. You just remember, like, what a long journey it was to get to this place. And you see you know, guys like Giannis and Chris Middleton who have been toiling and fighting and battling for all of these years in this franchise. They went out and got all of these pieces. It was an amazing run. I'm also a Chicago Cubs fan, so it's similar in ways, right? For like being there, knocking on the doorstep, getting in the playoffs, then falling short, and then finally winning it all in 2016. Those two championships are some of my favorite sports moments, obviously, as a fan, that I think I'll have, you know, during my entire life. So it's been a really great run for the city of Milwaukee. And now, of course, you know, riding this Packers train and the drama and the, we call it the Green Bays of our lives that we've been on for the last year or so with Aaron Rodgers.
That's great. So tonight, Packers and Cardinals from Arizona. Packers are going to be without their top two targets, although the Cardinals are out without J.J. Watt. So how do you think Rodgers attacks the Cardinals' defense without Adams and Lazard?
Well, they hope to get MVS back, and he is obviously their deep ball threat. He stretches the field for them. We all have, you know, images in our head if we queue up the film of Aaron Rodgers just throwing like 40 yards downfield for touchdowns. That's obviously always been on his resume, something that he can do. So they're hopeful that he will be back in action. But otherwise, Damon, doesn't this just feel like one of those games that Aaron Rodgers just goes to the closet, grabs that enormous chip that he has and plants it solidly on his shoulder, because everyone is saying that an injured and half Packers team can't possibly hang with the team that's 7-0 and thrashing people and putting up 32 points per game, and that, you know, this will be the game where we realize that the Packers are frauds and not contenders? And, like, doesn't it just feel like one of those games where Aaron Rodgers will find a way to will this offense to the end zone?
Probably. I think there's going to be points put up tonight. I wonder, though, we were just talking about the stat. This is a crazy stat. In the last 15 years, Central time zone teams or East time zone teams that went west on Thursday nights, 1-14. But the only team that did it was last year's Packers team that went to San Francisco and beat the Niners in a short week. So I wonder about that matchup. The other thing is, how do you slow down Kyler Murray in this offense right now? What do you think the Packers need to do to make sure this is not a 38-37 shootout?
Well, it would certainly help to have your defensive coordinator, but they won't have him either because of COVID. So obviously they're down some key players on that side of the ball as well. They're missing Preston Smith. They're missing Kevin King, much maligned, but still, you know, has shown at times that he can be great out there. And then, of course, they're missing Jair Alexander. So, again, it's going to be next man up. You know, they've seen a lot of good things from this Campbell guy who's been playing, and he's, you know, making his presence known. It's going to be fascinating. Look, I have been saying all week long that this is going to be very difficult for the Packers to win. And then I started to take a turn in the last 24 hours where I was like, what am I doing? Why am I counting out Aaron Rodgers? This is craziness, because I've done that before. I've been like, he can't possibly do it. He doesn't have the weapons. This is a much better team on the other side of the ball. And look, to the Green Bay Packers' credit, that's how a lot of these games, I feel like, have been this year. Tell me one game where it has been a convincing, dominant win by Green Bay. You can't do it. They haven't had it. You know, the Steelers, there was a 10-point swing on the callback on that blocked field goal situation. They had field goal gate against the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, and like the Bears, do you feel like they dominated the Bears team? Do you feel like the Bears are a good team this year that's really going to make, they're not going to obviously be the team coming out of the division, I don't think, because they can't get ahead of the Packers. So I've seen this team not look great, but still manage to work their way to a 6-1 record. So it starts to feel a little like, all right, go ahead, Jen. Be another person that counts Aaron Rodgers out. Go ahead. Be on that side of the ledger.
It's true. Jen Latta joins us, ESPN Milwaukee, and of course ESPN's College Game Day as well. How are Packers fans dealing with this season with Rodgers, not knowing whether or not this is the swan song, not knowing whether or not they should be saying goodbye or not? This has got to be such an awkward thing.
I think you just enjoy every win. I think you enjoy the fact that they're one of the top teams in the NFC right now, and I think you enjoy the fact that he is playing good football. And I think you just sit there and go, there are things being done to show Rodgers that there's a commitment to him going forward. You know, you have to remember, Rodgers went on the record and said his biggest issues were culture and personality, right? Well, that's not necessarily like, hey, are you putting enough weapons around me? You could maybe stick that into a culture thing of, the brass moving on from guys a year too early rather than a year too late, and him disagreeing, as he let us know, with that ledger of names of people that the Packers moved on from. But I think you're seeing and you're hearing from him that people can change and that there's been improvements in communication and that you're starting to see a little bit more, maybe, you know, even going out and getting a guy like Whitney Mercilus, who Rodgers is a huge fan of and has said that, you know, you're starting to show. The biggest debate here, Damon, if I'm being honest with you, is people saying, well, is Brian Gutekunst, GM, doing that in order to appease Rodgers, or is he doing it simply because it's his job? Because they've been decimated by injuries, and if you don't go out and get bodies, you can't play down men. So that's been fascinating, and I think people really fall on either side of whether or not they are on Rodgers' side of this thing or whether or not they've been on the Brass' side of this thing. But again, when your record is 6-1, even if you go, well, they really escaped that one by the skin of their teeth, there's not a lot to complain about.
It's well put. Seth, we're talking about so many cool Packer storylines here with Jen Latta from ESPN Milwaukee and College Game Day as well. But I want to talk to you about a piece that you did last week about Wake Forest quarterback Sam Hartman, because a lot of people don't know too much about Wake. They're not a brand name. They are undefeated. They're ranked number 13 of the country, and they've got the inside track to win the ACC. So they could be the New Year's Six bowl game. And their quarterback, Sam Hartman, last week against Army, went for 450 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks in that 70-point outburst. He's had a phenomenal season, more than 2,000 yards, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But you did a piece with Sam, and he's got such an interesting backstory. His brother, unfortunately, tragically committed suicide 5 years ago, and Sam carries that story with him on the field. It was such a poignant story that you put together. What was it like kind of researching that, speaking to the family? You spoke to Sam's parents as well, and learning about that, which he carries every week.
Well, Damon, you and I have talked about this before, kind of the process of doing these stories. It is incredibly emotional. It is incredibly challenging. It is draining. I don't think necessarily the viewer realizes, and that's by no fault of their own, but like, we are going into these people's homes. And of course, I've never met Mark and Lisa Hartman before. We've talked on the phone a few times before I go into their home on the Sunday before the game day piece airs. And you have to develop a rapport with people immediately. You have to convince them that your intentions are good and that you plan to do well by them, because this is their pain. This is their life. You know, and that sounds so trite to say this is their life, but like, these are things they've experienced. This is trauma that still sits with them. And you cannot give them any moment where they think you're going to sensationalize their pain. And why would I want to? So it's such a delicate dance that you're doing with trying to convince people right away that you have good intentions, your credibility is strong. And so you sit there. And, you know, the process is challenging, but it is always, you know, warming up with kind of innocuous questions and just kind of showing them what your intentions are. And then eventually you do get to the point where they have to relive some of the most difficult moments of their lives. And it is I never, ever sit there and go, well, that was great. That was fun. Who had fun? Did everyone have fun here? It's a serious matter. I take it very seriously. And, again, those pieces only do well if they are willing to be vulnerable with us, if they are willing to open up and share the details. The challenge also about doing stories about suicide, Damon, and I know you understand this, is we do not want to share the details of a suicide. We don't want to sensationalize it, and we don't want to highlight the hows. It's all about, you know, how it affected the people who remain. And so that always becomes challenging when you're trying to convince an audience also of the severity of the pain. And so it was threading such a fine needle of, here's what happened, here's how these people were affected by it, here's how Sam, the person that you care about probably the most, you being the viewer, care about and how it affected him, and then just kind of telling the story as delicately but as authentically as possible. I don't take it for granted. It is hard work. I was in the production meeting before the game on Friday, and I broke down in tears because there's just such an emotional release of a very challenging story being told, hoping that you're doing right by the family and hoping that you are telling their story, their truth, not what I perceive their truth to be.
And suicide amongst teens And young people are such an important topic and so prevalent these days that it's important to tell those stories as well, to highlight that young people are going through things and we should listen to them and try to make sure we are places that they could be outreached. And you had mentioned, you know, this story actually right now, still you could watch, go to College Game Day's Twitter page, and it's there and it's excellent. And the suicide prevention hotline is also there listed along with it, 1-800-273-TALK. And that's a really important thing to remember. But the story was just so definitely done with such a touch and with a poignancy that it was really, really wonderfully done, and a great insight into just what Hartman brings to the table with him every Saturday, which is so emotional. You're going to be in East Lansing. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Damon, let me just say very quickly about that. Didn't you feel, after seeing the piece, as Sam went out there and had this extraordinary game, didn't you feel? I had goosebumps.
Totally.
And I was like, my goodness, we just did this story about how he felt his brother's presence with him the night of the state championship game. His father said that that was the best game that Sam had ever played. We do this feature, and, you know, nationally, people are talking about Sam and what his family has been through. And then he goes out and has, like you said, this almost 500-yard game. And all I could think was, I wonder if he feels his brother with him. I wonder if this is another one of those nights where he feels that presence. And I mean, it just, that was a lot.
Yeah, it really was. I could only imagine being with that family and what your experience was like. This weekend, you're in East Lansing, Michigan, Michigan State, a pair of undefeateds in the Big Ten. I know you've been on campus this week. We'll see what the story is about coming up on Saturday, but what's the vibe around East Lansing? They must be loving life these days. This was never expected out of the Spartans.
Oh, they are thrilled. They're absolutely thrilled. I got a chance to sit down with Mel Tucker earlier this week, which, by the way, what a mild-mannered man.
Cool dude.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you think about these coaches who are like, you know, rah-rah in your face and like get all amped and hyped and whatnot, and that's not Mel. And good for him for being true to who he is, which is, he says, I'm actually an introvert, Jen. I said, and how does that work in the college football space, Mel? He said, well, it's working out for me so far. You know, but again, he goes back to authenticity. He said, you can't try to be somebody that you're not. You know, players see through that. He's obviously dealing with some external noise right now with his name being brought up in some of these coaching searches. And how does he convince his players that he's still all in on the Spartans and focused on the task at hand? And that goes back to trust and respect and the relationships that you've cultivated. So I'm a huge fan of his. Actually covered him when he was with the Chicago Bears years and years and years ago as a defensive coordinator. Mm. But there's a buzz, there's an energy, there's that, you can feel it in the air in East Lansing right now. And I really think they feel like they're going to do this. They feel like their team can. You know, they're tired of the little brother narrative. They really feel like they can knock off Michigan, and it's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, this should be fun. This is a noon kick from East Lansing. Two top 10 teams, both 7-0, undefeated. And Sparty gets their hated Wolverine rivals in their house. Watch College Game Day, because Jen Ladd is, I'm sure, going to have an amazing story as part of this coverage for the college football weekend. So that's going to be on ESPN Saturday morning. And then listen to her mornings and mid-mornings, rather, on ESPN Milwaukee as well. Jen, it's always truly a pleasure to catch up. Keep doing wonderful work, and we'll be watching on Saturday.
I appreciate you guys. As always, have a great weekend.
You too. Jen Ladd joining us this morning here on the show. Great stuff, talking about the Packers and Cardinals tonight. Also, Michigan, Michigan State, and her work on College Game Day. Always fantastic, phenomenal to have Jen on the show. Standing by is a kind sir, Mr. Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, hello again. Headlines sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Drink it in seconds, feel it in minutes, lasts for hours, tastes great too. 5-Hour Energy. The Braves needed length from Max Fried in Game 2 of the World Series last night after taxing their bullpen in Game 1. Fried worked into the sixth but allowed 6 runs on 7 hits. But it wasn't that bad, says his manager, Brian Snitker.
I'm having a hard time convincing myself that he struggled that much. I mean, it was, you know, the first inning, they did some really good hitting. The second inning, when they scored, it was kind of a weird inning. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was getting banged around.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with Snitker. I didn't think Fried pitched poorly. That was one kind of weird inning, as he said.
Yep, the second inning, they scored 4 times Houston, 4 ground ball hits and a throwing error on left fielder Eddie Rosario. I think the only negative, and I don't know if we discussed this last night, but they did do it on the broadcast, you could have, under different circumstances, taken him out of that game in the second or third inning and have him come back quicker in the series because you don't have Morton. But because they don't have Morton and lost him early in game one and had 20 outs from their bullpen, he had to keep pitching last night. So he did a good enough job to keep Houston within striking distance, but now he also put in a full start. So now the first time he can come back is game five, and you just don't know where the series will be at that point.
Yeah. I think Snitker played it right because I think you need to save your bullpen arms because
he had no choice
because Morton is out.
Yeah.
Because Morton's out. And I think if you're the Braves, you also kind of like look at this as, hey, we won a game where our starting pitcher didn't go deep. We lost a game where he did. We'll take the split going back home and we save our bullpen arms because, you know, because of what Freed did last night.
Yeah, and no important reliever ended up pitching for Atlanta, so they'll all be good to go for Game 3, which is Friday night back in Atlanta. Last night, the Astros winning 7-2, so the Fall Classic is 1-1. Houston starter Jose Urquidy allowed two runs with 7 Ks over 5. We already knew that J.J. Watt was missing Thursday night football with Sunday's shoulder injury. Now, Watt reportedly needs surgery that will likely end his season. The Packers, meanwhile, will be without receivers Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard because of COVID, but there's still Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers. The Cardinal QB likes the Packer QB.
He's probably one of my favorite quarterbacks. I mean, to watch, just, you know, his swag, the way he plays the game, you know, what he's done, you know, his career. He's definitely, you know, I admire his game a lot.
Kickoff tonight is shortly after 8 Eastern. Tyrod Taylor returned to Texans practice yesterday, but Davis Mills will likely still start this weekend. Rob Gronkowski at Bucks practice yesterday for the first time since breaking ribs in Week 3. And the NFL informing teams of additions to the Rooney Rule. Teams can now interview candidates virtually for an open job during the last 2 weeks of the regular season, assuming, of course, that current team gives permission. Yes, the
Can you do that with any coach or just Rooney Rule coaches?
I read it as any coach.
Any coach.
Yeah.
But okay. Also, you got to remember, another thought process behind that is we are another week longer with the regular season, which pushes everything back.
So how does that attach to the Rooney Rule?
I guess the Rooney Rule just now encompasses multiple different rules for interviewing coaches. And it's connected, and at least in my head, theoretically it's connected because certain coaches like Eric Bieniemy, some feel that he's been victimized by the Chiefs playing longer, so you can't wait to talk to him, so you hire somebody else. So I think any time where you're now letting the coaches interview sooner is good for everybody, but it gets put in underneath the Rooney Rule because that seems to kind of oversee all coaching interviews at this point.
Yeah, speaking of coaches, diversity hires, et cetera, Byron Leftwich is going to get a bunch of interviews this year. I mean, Leftwich is the OC now in Tampa.
And he absolutely should.
Because, I mean, you can't look at the Buccaneers' offense. Of course, Brady is Brady, and they've got a ton of weapons. But they run one of the most high-octane offenses in the NFL. Byron Leftwich is a former player. He's relatively young. He's on a really smart staff. He's learned from, you know, Bruce Arians. He's coached Tom Brady. I mean, what's not to like about Byron Leftwich as a coaching candidate?
Absolutely. And the flip of this, DA, we talk about these guys reversing. How unimportant does Black Monday eventually become if teams realize this and just start canning guys in December if you're out of it?
Like college football.
Yeah.
Where you're just canning guys midseason.
Wouldn't you want the jump if other teams are interviewing potential candidates you want to interview 2 weeks ahead of time? If you know you're out of it and you know you're going to fire your coach, why would you wait 2 weeks to fire him?
So we're going to have Black Christmas instead.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, wouldn't you? Why would you not want that advantage? If other teams are doing it, why? To be loyal?
Yeah, do you have to fire your coach to do these interviews?
Yes, your job has to be open to do these interviews. So I think Sean's right. I think there's a sweet spot that the last weekend of the regular season is January 9th, I think.
Yes, remember. Christmas is only week 15 now,
right?
Or whatever, you know, week 16 now.
So you get to week 13, week 14, and you know you're firing your guy, you got to fire him then.
Yeah.
To be able to do this stuff and get ahead of the game.
Interesting. Okay. So
this
we're
good. Yeah. This is how a lot of like the Bones Fossil guys end up being head coach. Remember when he took over the Rams?
Who?
Fossil's son, the special teams coach.
Oh.
Remember that year he took over when Fisher got fired and it was like a disaster? He couldn't be head coach. You're going to see a lot of those games in December.
A lot of bad interim coaches are coming in week 16 and week 17.
Right. Because the other part is they're probably not going to put an interim coach out there that they feel confident would be the next head coach because then it becomes disrespectful to him that they're interviewing all these other guys.
Yeah, and they love the special teams guys because they do so little. So you don't mess with the offensive or the defense coordinator.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Special teams guy gets it because he has the least on his plate and you're not messing anything else up.
Right.
Let's do the NBA now. The Thunder erasing a 26-point second quarter hole. They beat the Lakers 123-115 for their first win of the season. Now, in the final seconds of this one, OKC's Darius Bazley stole an inbounds pass and dunked. Russell Westbrook thought he should have simply just dribbled out the clock, mm-hmm. had a few words for Bazley, and got ejected.
We're old school, and that happened, I don't let it slide. So, you know, I take it on the chin and move on. But, you know, the game of basketball, certain things you just don't do. Game already over, and I didn't like it. Simple as that.
So now basketball has unwritten rules. Uh-huh. Russ, a quadruple-double last night, 20 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, 10 turnovers.
Oh.
The Lakers are 2-3. LeBron out again with that sore right ankle. The Cavs beat the Clippers at Staples for the first time since March of 2016, 92-79. The T-Wolves, a 113-108 win in Milwaukee despite 40 from Giannis. Washington beat Boston, 116-107. And the Hornets outscored the Magic, 120-111. Miles Bridges, 31 points, his third 30-point game in five outings. Reportedly no structural damage in Nikola Jokic's right knee after getting hurt in Tuesday night's loss in Utah. The New England Revolution, an MLS single season record 73 points after beating Colorado 1-0, and Sporting KC a 2-0 win over the LA Galaxy to retake number one in the Western Conference for now. KC also clinching a top four seed, which means a home game in round one. And on ice, the Panthers are 7-0 after beating Boston 4-1. Head coach Joel Quenneville worked the game but dodged the media afterwards before meeting today with Commissioner Gary Bettman about his role in this horrible mess in Chicago. He was the head coach back in 2010. Quenneville said he knew nothing then about sexual assault allegations against video coordinator Brad Aldridge, but the accuser, Kyle Beach, says he knows of meetings that took place in Quenneville's office after he told the team what happened to him in 2010.
Bad look for Quenneville to duck the media yesterday.
I think the issue is him coaching. I understand you not talking before you go to the commissioner, so then you shouldn't have worked the game last night.
If you're going to coach, right, you got to talk after coaching a game. If you're not coaching, fine.
Right. Can't be both things.
Whew. Bad for the Blackhawks, bad for everybody involved, bad for the NHL. That's an ugly story. When we come back here on the show, in Jacksonville this weekend, Georgia puts its number one ranking and undefeated record on the line against the rival Florida Gators. Anything to worry about from a Georgia standpoint? We'll do that next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And Sunday, it's going to be a very happy Halloween with the NFL on CBS and some spooktacular divisional rivalries. Included the Steelers stepping into Cleveland to battle the Browns, or the Dolphins taking on the Bills. Get set for all of the action beginning with the NFL today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. This Sunday, the NFL is on CBS!
CBS Spooktacular, yeah!
Tomorrow, the Spooktacular DA Show, the annual Halloween episode, including all four of us in costume, in Halloween garb. Come for the fun, the food, and the candy high. Tomorrow, Mraz is going to bring in his football food of the week, the much discussed, much maligned French onion dip. He's going to bring in the French onion dip with bacon, homemade, straight out of a pouch.
Pouch? What do you mean by pouch?
Well, the French onion dip powder. Don't you just add that to sour cream?
I mean, you're really demeaning this. I put a little more effort into it. I'm making the French onion dip with bacon.
Yeah, but it comes out of a pouch, right?
You're making it seem like the whole dip is just a pouch.
Bacon. Well, no, it's a pouch in sour cream.
And that's why you add the bacon. And then
French onion dip
a couple
with bacon.
Other seasonings I put in there. The pouch is like
you add seasonings?
Hello, guys. You act like I'm so lazy with these foods. Yeah,
you
spice it up a little bit.
What seasonings?
It's for you guys to taste and tell me.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you're taking a pouch, you're putting some sour cream with the pouch, and then you're putting fresh bacon in there.
Yes.
Okay, but there's a pouch.
There's a pouch involved, but it's the wording and way you say it.
But seasonings, too.
It's what it is. I don't know what you want me to do. It's what it is. You take pre-made pouch of powder and seasoning and you put it in sour cream, which is why this has always been the biggest joke of a football food of the week.
French onion dip with bacon, but with dipsy doodles.
So Marez is going to make that, bring it in tomorrow, bring in dipsy doodles so we can try to see what it's like with the dipsy doodles.
If I can find them. I'm on three stores out right now.
Oh, great. But then in a little twist, we're going to bring in our personalized Halloween candy to dip in to the sour cream with bacon.
With bacon.
We are all choosing our own weapon here. Individually, which Halloween candy would you choose to dip into French onion dip?
With bacon.
Bacon. With dipsy doodles.
Bacon.
So that's tomorrow morning on the show. Plus, an array of secret guests.
But with dipsy doodles.
If they call back Marez. We'll see.
Brutal week.
Been a tough week on Marez. Been a tough week. Jen Ladder returned your phone call. That was a win.
Yes, yes. Mean Joe Green on the show.
Mean Joe Green, which is perfect for tomorrow. Mean Joe Green on Halloween. This is great.
Yes.
It's awesome.
A rare win.
Maybe NFL Network's Colleen Werewolf can join us on the show. So on Saturday in Jacksonville, traditionally known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Georgia takes on Florida. And, of course, the Bulldogs are number one in the country. And for the Florida Gators, they are not even ranked. This is a down year for Dan Mullen's Gators team as they come in at 4-3, 2-3 in the SEC. They had that wild 49-42 loss at LSU a couple of weeks ago. Then they had the bye. Bulldogs are coming off that pounding of Kentucky 30-13. They also coming off a bye as well. So, look, the key here is that the Gators have an explosive offense. The Gators have a big downfield offense. The Gators like to throw, put up points, and play fast under Dan Mullen. That's who Dan Mullen is. But even though Florida's ninth in the nation in total offense, more than 500 yards a game, even though they're top five in rushing offense as well, more than 250 per game, you're running into the teeth of the best defense in college football, and some would argue in recent college football history. Georgia's front seven is so stupid good. They are so fast. They are so powerful. They are mean when they get there. They're just thoroughly dominant. And they've got guys on this front seven, multiple guys that'll be first-round NFL draft picks. And they've got just gobs of talent on the defensive side of the football. They've got 20 different players that have tackles for losses. They have 13 different players who have sacks. So it's not like you can slow down one guy, double team one guy, and you're okay. Everybody gets to the passer. Everybody gets to the backfield. Everybody gets to the football. Georgia is first in the country in total defense, first in scoring defense, first in pass defense, and second in rushing defense. They are allowing less than a touchdown a game. They're averaging giving up 6.5 points per game. 6.5 points per game. So this does not feel to be a game that Georgia's going to have to sweat out, except for the fact that, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, and that's where underdogs can keep games close because you know each other so well. In a game like this, you got a lot of players that are recruited against one another. You've got a lot of players on Florida that were probably recruited by Georgia, and certainly plenty of players in Georgia recruited by Florida. You're playing within your same kind of region of the country, and so it's a 50-50 fan split, but also a bunch of players that know each other on the other sidelines and tendencies and
rivalries and animosities and frustrations and ego and things like that. So that tends to even out, you know, the rivalries. When you look at the history of this rivalry over 99 times they've played, this will be the 99th meeting. More than not, it's a one-score game. It's a one-score game. Now, I think the problem with Florida is that Mullen doesn't know whether he wants to start Emory Jones or Anthony Richardson. I don't know if either one of those guys gives them a better shot to win. I think, if anything, the hope by Dan Mullen is one guy has something, the other guy might not. But if one guy has something, it gives us a chance to find a spark, to find something that might work against an elite Georgia defense. I think Georgia wins this game by double digits. You know, the line's healthy in this game, so I'm not sure I love that. But I do think that Georgia has to simply factor in, you cannot look ahead, especially against a rival. You know, they need to take care of their business each and every week, because staying undefeated is their, obviously, their ticket to a national championship. But it is not the only thing, remember, that if they lost a game like this, you know, they still can get to the college football playoff as long as they've got one loss. They knock off Alabama, presumably, in the SEC title game. But the thing is, Georgia can't lose this game and then lose to Alabama in the SEC title game. So you gotta stay undefeated. This is a game that you should win. You're in a 14-point favorite of this game. You know, Georgia's not going to lose this game unless they really don't take Florida seriously, unless they're really reading their own press clippings, unless they're really looking ahead already to the end of the season. This might be their last big challenge. They get Mizzou after this. They're at Tennessee. The Vols are interesting. I'm not sure the Vols can do anything on the field against that Georgia defense, but maybe. And then Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech. So it's this. It's the Tennessee game. You can't take this game lightly or the Tennessee game. Take care of your business. You'll be fine. When we come back on the DA Show, more on the NFL weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.